Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hey everyone, Lisa Resnick at, well, for Holmes & Hops at Youngstown Studios with the man, the creator, the myth, the legend, Joe Danier. Very, I know it's Hungarian. Yes. You just mentioned that, but I do. I think it sounds French.
All right, I'll be French for the day.
There you go. You kind of have the look too.
Yeah.
Yes. Very I can't even speak today. What is it? Monday?
It is Monday number two.
It is like this entire week is just condensed, isn't it?
It is. It's very busy days now, you know?
Okay. So this is like really my opportunity to like really dive into everything behind Youngstown Studio and you.
The story behind the story.
I know. I really want to know the story. So where did it all begin? Are you originally from this area?
I am. Yeah, I grew up in Girard.
Okay.
And then I moved to Struthers when my wife got a job as a teacher over there. And then now I'm in Poland after so many years.
So real quick, let's talk about the fact that you went Trumbull to Mahoney.
Yes.
Was that like a big deal?
You know, Girard and Struthers were so similar. I mean, even like the marketplace and how people operated and government, the whole thing was very similar. I did business when I was in Trumbull County. So I found myself in Mahoning County a lot of the time anyhow, because that's, you know, the business districts were.
But don't you feel like growing up, there's such a separation when we're so close to one another, even like Columbiana County, like there's such a separation between each of our counties, but yet we're all part of the Valley
right
at the same time and pretty cohesive, but yet there's such a difference. I really, at least that's how I felt growing up.
Yeah. And even how one treats the other. We had relatives that lived in Girard. And when we mentioned that we were moved to Poland, they like talked about it like we were a state away. Like it was so far of a distance.
That's how people treat Canfield to Poland.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, you're all the way,
all the way over there.
In Poland.
Does the bus run over that way?
I know. I don't know if I can drive all that way. It's like, really, it's not even 5 miles down the road.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, 100%. And even like the whole developers. So you had Cafaro development company that is in Trumbull. Then you had DeBartolo in Mahoning. So there was even that whole dynamic as well.
And they were similar in the things that they took on, like they both had malls and
very similar.
Yeah.
So did you happen to go to Youngstown State?
For a little bit, a little stint at Youngstown State. I was pursuing psychology. It was what I really loved.
Okay, so I really need to watch what I say.
Yeah. And then, you know, I started doing tech when I was, 13 years old.
Oh,
and
really?
So I was doing that to pay for school. But then when I had a chance to jump at opportunities, it kind of like took priority over the schooling and I just went down that track.
So when you said you were doing tech, what were you doing?
Fixing computers, putting networks together,
taking
programming.
Computers apart.
Oh yeah, the whole thing. I mean, like I said, at 13 years old, I'm writing on my Commodore 64 programming. So I was a nerd in the biggest degree. So.
I was a nerd too.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So I was definitely. I was domestic extemporaneous speaker.
Nice.
like I was one of those nerds as well. So
awesome.
I mean, I think that we, us nerds, have grown up very, very well, don't
you? That's it. I do. I'm proud of us.
That's right. I'm very proud of us, too. We all have friends, and I always say this, and I say this because I have two kids, and I always say to them, I was like, listen, your world expands as you grow.
For sure.
And that's one of the greatest things, so keep on going and keep on growing. I know our probably base, especially with social media, has even grown even further.
Yeah, and its evolution. Like I got to see it when it was in its infancy in the 90s, and it wasn't all that useful. So if it weren't for our trailblazers of like hammering it out to see what we could make use wise, it wouldn't be where it is today.
You definitely were, especially in the tech world. So you started off working in tech, playing around with electronics when you were younger, and then you utilized that to help you out with Youngstown State.
Yep.
And then from there,
just blew this company up big time.
So how long ago was that?
So it was, I started the first company probably right out of high school. So like 96, 97.
What was the first company?
NICN is what it was called.
What
NICN
is
computer. So here's the story. So I was writing programming and the internet was like brand new. And I had like this desire to set up a mall, but virtually. And this is the 90s, right?
Okay.
Didn't exist. So
true.
I pictured the, you know, like a graphical interface.
How old were you when you were thinking like this?
I was in my 20s, early
20s. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so I had this idea that I was going to do a national internet commerce network. So I was going to sell stuff, right?
Okay.
And so I wrote the programming to get this little virtual mall that was on the internet where people could sell stuff. And I my shopping cart that I created had like, everybody could have five
items.
You were
like the original Amazon guy,
I was,
Bezos.
Right. So each one of my stores can only have like five products. So the whole store maxed out at like 100 products completely because I was using visual things instead of text. So I only had so much screen room. And so I had my completed software done. And so I started going around in businesses in Girard and I started asking like, hey, I've got this internet thing. Do you have some products here you would want to put on the internet and see if you could sell? They all looked at me like I was a freaking idiot. Right?
I had no idea
what I was talking about.
Yes.
And I was so like disheartened and it killed me because I got nobody to be able to give me products to set up this deal. So what I did was I made NICN into a computer services company because obviously the original idea didn't go anywhere. So then NICN.
Which was a great idea.
It was a little bit too before its time.
Great idea. So then you started this other company.
Yeah, started NICN Computers, and then I started doing software and, you know, fixing computers, building computers and stuff like that. And that was before, that was in sort of like Gateway had yet to, you know, really take over the PC market. So we were building a bunch of like computers, physical computers.
That's phenomenal. And you were in your early 20s.
I was.
And then from there, what was the next company? How many companies do you own?
A lot of different. NICN, we had some, you know, obviously people go through these trials, you know, throughout their life. And one of the trials really hit and killed NICN. So I had to scratch NICN and start over. Like I had a year that kind of disappeared from my calendar kind of a thing.
Okay.
And so when I came back, I still had the knowledge to do this. So I started, you know, working retail. I worked at Staples. I worked at, you know, a couple other places just to get money generated. And I started doing subcontracting work for other computer companies so that they, when they needed some like big thing, they would contract me and then I'd go out there and do the computer services. After that, I had enough customers and enough, you know, presence there. Cause at the same time I was kind of doing my own thing and I had enough stuff. Then I started Youngstown Computer and this would have been like 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And, you know, grew residential services, grew commercial services, and everything beyond that was a sort of like a branch from that tree.
That's amazing. So every company that you have is connected to tech.
Yep, for sure.
So how many companies are there?
I want to say 8 probably right now.
Right now.
Yeah. Always developing a new one. So like right now we're doing the makerspace over in Struthers.
Okay.
And so Youngstown Computer Services is over in Struthers, the suite next to it. We set up all of our like equipment.
Do you sleep?
Of course I do. I drink lots of coffee and I wake up super early in the morning.
I drink lots of coffee too. Maybe a Red Bull midday, which is not necessarily a good thing, but
right.
It is.
We talk faster that way.
I know,
right?
And it's necessary. It's truly necessary in order to get me, because I'll stay up until like 11 o'clock working at night. And maybe also having Lost right now in the background, because 20 years ago, I'm now watching Lost.
Are you at the obsession stage with Lost yet?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But, and which I refuse to watch at the beginning. Like I'm one of those people that if it's like the trend and everybody's doing it, I won't do it. Like
I'm conformist. I love it.
I missed out on Hamilton because of that.
Yep.
But I did see it during the pandemic when Disney Plus had it on TV. And I truly realized that I probably should have gone when I was offered the ticket instead of being the obstinate person I can be.
I love it. I have an appreciation for that.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
So when did Youngstown Studios get created?
So back sort of like in the midst of all of this, I did some marketing and promotion for a NASCAR team. And really all of my businesses stem from if nobody's in an area and I see that there's value there, I'll jump in and like forge the area.
Okay.
And NASCAR teams at the time, there was a bunch of money flowing through there. None of them had internet presence or marketing presence on the website. So we have a local driver here that I decided to say, hey, would you like to do this? And you would be different from whatever. So I set up a radio show, like an internet radio show for a NASCAR driver back in the early 2000s. Right.
Okay.
And so, you know, I did his marketing, promotion, merchandise sales, and all of that. And I got to know all of these like really good NASCAR teams and learn how they did marketing different than, you know, I knew very crude versions of marketing, not necessarily how the professionals were doing it. But I got the best education from, you know, from that process. But I set up one of my rooms, a whole broadcast booth. It's like all of the computers, all of the servers and audio equipment. So I learned the audio equipment back in that stint. And then also when I started Youngstown Computer, I started Dan Rivers on WKBN.
Yes.
I was an avid talk radio listener.
Okay.
And I was driving around one day on the computer services and I heard him struggling out at the Eastwood Mall. They did those live remote broadcasts. And so I went out to the mall and rescued him. And this was back on dial-up. So he was trying to do a broadcast over dial-up. So I connected all of this equipment to get him the ability to broadcast from the mall and saved him. And then so from that point, we started doing small segments, like little 15-minute segments with his audience. His audience was 55 plus that didn't even know what a computer was. So again, nobody was going after that territory. So I decided I was going to make a run at it.
Isn't it amazing to think back 20 years ago or 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and the growth in the tech world that we've had?
For sure. Could not have predicted how it grows this fast. No
I mean,
way.
It's amazing that it is one of those things. So you're probably constantly researching and looking at what's coming up and what's upcoming, especially if you're trying. I feel like you're very much the visionary that sees things and the ability to do things with tech.
For sure.
Before it's become popular.
Yeah. And a lot of those ideas that I've had, I had no ability to actually turn them into anything, but I tried and then I watched them come to fruition. It pisses me off a little bit knowing that I had that first, you know.
It's Jeff Bezos, isn't
it? It is. And the other, like this was again, early 2000s. And I was sitting in the back room, we were building computers and I was like adding all of the same hardware to all these computers. I'm thinking one day, like we're going to be able to build like supercomputers. And then all the computers we buy are just like kiosks that get us to that supercomputer. So that was like cloud thinking.
The data centers.
Yeah, right. So I had cloud thinking back in the 2000s.
Yes, data centers are pretty big right now, actually pretty big in real estate as well, which I know that if we had the infrastructure for them to be able to build their centers on, and they are, I don't know if you've ever seen a data center.
So impressive.
But they are impressive and it's amazing. So I've worked it in the area of managing the space as well as leasing out racks instead of like.
Oh, so you're integrated in that kind of stuff too. Holy crap.
This is back in the day, probably about a decade ago. And for the area in Virginia, Loudoun County, they had the AT&T that was located there. So all the infrastructure and all the wiring was already there. So when they started to downsize, it gave the ability for this other piece of the puzzle to be able to take place there. And I think like, I want to say, and I could be wrong, that Loudoun County is the number two largest and strongest when it comes to data centers.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That's cool.
I mean, on a county-wise, you think about the money generated from that revenue coming into the centers. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. If we had it here, I would definitely be like, we need to push for this. Because
for sure. And it's not too late. We could get something like that here. We got infrastructure like it's nobody's business.
We
here.
Do. And I think from what my understanding out in Trumbull County, Cafaro and the land that he owns, I know that he's working towards or is trying to attract that type of business. I could be 100%
That's awesome.
Wrong in that, but that'd be great. And then recently when I was actually out showing Salt Springs Road that the city owns one of the buildings out there, I mean, it's raised floors. And the first thing I thought about was,
it would be a perfect data center.
It would be a perfect data center. And I'm like, where's like the electric? Where do we have like the main hub coming in, the power coming into this place? How close is it?
Look at you, visionary. Is that a verb?
I don't know. We'll make it one. Why not? But that's interesting. So you started off with Dan at the Eastwood Mall.
Yep.
And then you were like, hey.
Yeah, he'd bring me on every once in a while. We'd talk some tech stuff because he had an interest in it. And that grew into like a half hour segment, an hour segment. And now I'm like on for 3 hours on a Saturday. And I have a whole group, an audience that, you know, that tech is intimidating, especially if you don't know what you're doing. You feel stupid and nobody wants to feel stupid.
Every day.
So that's me. So my model was, let's make it non-intimidating. Have a place that if you don't know something, let's help everybody else kind of get on the same page. And so I have a whole group of people that's followed that program from the inception and got good at computers through nothing else but listening to me talk about it.
Oh, wow. That's great. YouTube. Basically creating a YouTube station, but face-to-face.
On
which
physical,
is, I know. But that's great. So then from there, when did you acquire this space?
So the computers were, we were probably growing 30%, 40% year over year. So we were really needed some operating space. We had too many people in the field. Our spaces were too small. So
good problems to have.
Yeah. And I was a little bit upset that I was called Youngstown Computer. All of my companies were Youngstown something, and I never had a Youngstown address. So I said, hey, when I get some space, let me go down to Youngstown so I can actually have a Youngstown address. It was kind of weird.
Okay.
That was the reason for me coming down here. But I was doing business with Advantage Video upstairs. And so I'd walk by this suite all the time. And I saw this suite always like in disarray and really nothing going on. I thought, if that thing ever comes available, that's going to be my address. And like the next time I walked by, the for lease sign popped out there. I took a picture of it and I said, I want that. When I sat down to sign the lease, like they said, you know, what's the company name to put at it? Instead of saying Youngstown Computer, which that's what was going to operate here, I said, let's make that Youngstown Studio. And Youngstown Studio wasn't a thing, right? But I wanted Youngstown Studio to be a thing. And so from day one, it said Youngstown Studio on the outside.
And which Joe also created his own logo as well, which I do love. I love the mic coming out
The
Y. I think that was pretty cool.
Thank you.
Moved into this space, which for everyone out there, we're at 201 East Commerce.
Street,
the beautiful white building. I like the stone white building that you have over on the east side of Youngstown, of downtown Youngstown. And it's a phenomenal space.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. And, you know,
your location's great.
When you walk in, you get to demo all of your stuff. People can see it as they enter the building.
I know.
It's amazing.
It is, because you do have such a strong visibility where you are. And this, how much square footage is here?
It's a good question. I don't even know.
So I know everyone, those who watch Homes and Hops, you see us sitting on the couches with the TV in the background, which is, this is my favorite space.
Excellent.
But you have two other spaces that people can record and do record from as well.
Yeah, we have the talk space up front where you have a host and co-host position. We have
Justin.
Yeah, we have the stage setting. So like when COVID was hitting, you know, comedians, musicians came down here and did virtual concerts and stuff like that. What's being built next to the stage is a voiceover booth. So if people are doing voiceover recordings for their marketing and promotions, they can do it here. And then you have the back room here that has the sit down interview couch setting and then also the panelist setting. So we really got five different studios to play with.
Now, how often do people come and rent out any of the space?
All the time. Yeah. In fact, we actually have After Hours Youngstown. In the Vindies, they're going to be visiting us on the 16th, and we're going to be doing a musical recording up front. So it's those
really?
Kind of, heck yeah, it's cool stuff going on here.
What do you have to do to like prepare for the sound, everything for something like that?
Every time a musician comes in, it's different. So there's nothing you can do to prepare. I have a table out there that has every cable and connection and converter so that like we engineer it on the fly. And I got good at that being in the early days because tech was awful in the beginning and you really had to be MacGyver with all of your setup. So that's the front part.
And you do have the ear to be able to listen and say, hey, these are the adjustments that I need to make. Even like for me, for instance, you said because of my pitches are different than a male's pitch that you were able to hear it and adjust it. to make it sound.
Well, better. Here's the thing. I'm hard of hearing. So I hear only about 30% of everything. I read lips, right?
Really?
Oh yeah. And I use audio equipment to look at pitches after it's been recorded. So I have to convert all audio stuff to visual. So I run a freaking studio and I can't hear half the crap that comes out of
this place.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. And so during COVID, when everybody was wearing masks, I didn't know what anybody was saying. I would just nod and walk around.
Right.
Yep.
That had to been very difficult.
It was too.
That had to been very, very difficult. So you've been utilizing, so if I right now go over to Morgan over here, who's helping us out, and you're facing the other way, we could just talk at
anything
at this normal level.
It depends. It's pitch based. So the 30%, I think I can hear your pitch better than lower tones. I think that's what it ends up being. So I might be able to pick.
It's the mom.
listen for that. Yeah. Yeah. Joseph.
That's right. That's exactly right. So Joe is also running now too.
I am. Yeah. And I've always had, my goal is to run a marathon, and I've never been able to get beyond a 5K. Like I've just haven't practiced the right things or, you know, stressed myself in the right ways to be a good runner. So she's been helping me out a ton with getting to be a runner like I want to be.
So I used to only run 5Ks myself. And then I ran my first 10K. And then somebody roped me into a 10 miler. And then from the 10 miler, I was like, oh, what's another 3 miles, I started running half marathons. And then I think there was probably about a handful of half marathons that I then thought to myself, why not run the marathon? And I did. I trained a lot. And it does help having a group of people to talk with while you're running, because it's a long time to be out there.
Are you an extrovert or an introvert, by the way? I would guess an extrovert.
I feel like I'm more of an introvert.
Really?
Which is interesting. Now, okay. If I have, maybe that's why I take the hops. If I have a lot of hops, then
I
could be a little bit more extroverted. But I do. I do. I get intimidated in crowds, and I definitely can't talk in front of crowds. I can't. It sounds like my voice starts to shake. It sounds like I'm crying.
I spend all of my time avoiding people, and that's you learn best from them, but it's a detriment.
I know. It's hard. So this is. When I first started Homes and Hops too, it was like I had Rachel that Thomas, she's another real estate agent that started it with me. I am so thankful for her because I wouldn't have been able to do it on my own. So having somebody there with me to make me step out and do what my idea is for was phenomenal. And I will never not be grateful for her for that. But understanding that wasn't necessarily her thing. Like she was like, all right, Lisa, because I'm like, but we have to meet this time. We have to do this. She took a step back, and her thing is photography, which she's a phenomenal photographer as well and real estate agent. And so I continued on. And then I think I wrote my husband in at one point. And then I've also roped my brokers in at one point. And then finally was like, you know, I need to start doing this on my own, and I can do it. I'll survive. And yeah, that's how it just became me.
So let me tell you what you do, Miss Extrovert here and Mr. Introvert here. I'm using you on Facebook as my running inspiration. Amanda McNinch. I'm using Amanda, okay. And Ronna McCall. All three of them run regular enough to get me off of the couch and say, you know, what are you doing right now? Is it helping you become a better runner? No, get out there. Like, you run in the mornings. I'm like, I got coffee. I got shit to do. What do I do?
So you do. I wake up early in the morning. I drink my coffee. I always have to drink coffee before I run. And then I do some work, send out emails or whatever. Try not to text people because it is early. And I have a very difficult time holding off because what's in your mind, I like to shoot out. And then I go for my run, and then I come back.
Are you doing that for weather? Like, do you always run in the morning?
I do. A lot of it is weather dependent, especially when it was 90 degrees out. I was waking up at 4 a.m. to run at 5 a.m. before it got too hot. Now that my body is a little bit more acclimated, I'm back to like 6:30, 7 a.m. runs, okay. And that's fine. In the winter, though, I do. I try to wait a little bit longer before I go out for the run because it does get super cold and your muscles do then tense up and then you'll find your stride and everything changing and there's just more of an opportunity.
Is it better to run in the mornings? Is there an advantage to that?
For me, it is.
Okay.
But I know other people that are better in the evenings or around lunchtime, or it doesn't faze them anytime they go out and run. But for me, I'm a better runner in the morning.
Okay. Yeah, I'm more of an evening. Like, I'll either do treadmill when it's in the winter. I never run outside when it's cold out. It hurts my lungs so bad, I just don't do
That's
it.
That's fair.
But I'll swim, or I'll do treadmill, or I'll run, and then I'll hit the sauna, and then I'm done for the night. So that's my routine.
See, I can't do a treadmill.
No?
No, I feel like I'm running and I'm not, it's like that nightmare. Like you're trying to run and get out of something and yet you're not moving. You're still in the same space. That's how I feel about running on a treadmill.
What if you had one of those screens that had like a video playing and they could distract you? Would you still do it? Would you do it?
So it's interesting. I did run on a treadmill that had one of those and I found that my footing, because I would want to run in a different direction.
Oh, you would than, see the run.
that it would have, but I'm still on a treadmill. I'm not actually on the road in
right?
front of me. So I can't run that way around a person that's virtually there. So
yeah. And I don't know if it's easier or harder. I found it like it's easier doing it outside, but it's more of the psychology where you got the sounds of the changing atmosphere and the
yep.
air and whatever. I like being outside a lot better.
I do. I feel like that's my moment.
Yep.
Like I really do. I'm able to run through any issues or any ideas. What I need to get accomplished that day. Like there, it's just that moment of me to be able to have that time to think on my own without distractions, which is very difficult these days to find those times.
Yes, for sure.
Very difficult. And I know that you're going to be hitting your marathon sooner than you anticipate. Cause once you get past that 5K, you'll be good.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'm at. So I couldn't run a 30-minute 5K. So the last 5K I ran, my whole goal was to hit it in under 30 minutes. And I did like 27 something.
Which is amazing.
Right? So the one we're going to run in October, my wife's running along with me. And it's her first 5K, right?
Okay.
And I'm going and going to pace with her, but I'm going to totally make it a practice session for breathing and heart rate. Like I'm going to try to control both of those things, not worry about times, not worry about distance, just be able to talk and breathe and, you know, pace myself in a way, you know, working on that side.
So. They always say that, make sure you run at a conversational pace, but they also say always run to train for the marathon, but never run the marathon. Because technically running marathons isn't necessarily good for your body either.
Right.
But we do it.
Do you do any of that high impact stuff where you like sprint and then run down? I mean, is it just running at the same pace or do you put your body through some stresses?
So if I run faster, it's just because of whatever song I'm listening to.
Gotcha.
I think it's like the fartlek or whatever approach where you'll sprint and then slow down and then sprint again. I've never done that, but I'm not running for speed. I'm running for completion. And that is always my goal. I know I'm not going to be one of the top runners and I'm okay with that. So I'm still achieving goals that I never thought I would before. So
do you, when you're running, do you use people ahead of you as benchmarks?
But I'm used.
You are?
The best is when the young kids like will run up to you. And then they'll stop and walk and you're still running. Then they run up to you again, stop and walk. It's like, can you please pick someone else? Right?
I got embarrassed at the last Youngstown marathon. I was running the 5K and it was at that. I hit this wall at 2 miles where my breathing just dies and my heart rate goes up. And some really heavy kid, right,
mm-hmm.
was trying to like get me to run fast. So as he's like tearing by me, he's like, pick it up. And I'm like, oh, please. And this guy that's like four times my size
yep.
goes by me like he's the hare and I'm this
yep.
turtle. So
you definitely can. You cannot judge people's ability to run
Not
by their
all.
Size at all.
Not at all.
Even height. You can't even do that. I remember there was one of my friends. This is, again, back in Virginia. I think she was 4'7". And that little girl could like run like crazy. Her little legs short would be speeding by everybody. It
wow.
was amazing. So you can't judge on that either.
Right.
That's why I'm like, I just want to finish the race and I'm good
There's
with
me.
That.
No pressures. Right?
I know. then we have my kids being like, did you win? It's like, I won for myself.
My medal. I got it.
Exactly. So for everyone out there, we are drinking some scrappy German, the Heffenweiser from Modern Methods that Sarah Keck brought last week,
oh, nice.
Which was awesome.
They have quite the lineup. I checked out their stuff, and they've got a lot of stuff.
They do have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of great breweries around here. We really do. We have a lot of great talent, including yourself, because you do.
Thank you.
You have to be innovative these days. You really have to think outside the box, be creative, and be willing to go beyond what you originally thought and knew. And I think that we are very lucky that we have the people that we do have in our area that aren't saying anymore, this is what we've always done. This is how it's always been. And you're one of those people.
Well, thank you. When I was sort of like really getting invested in businesses around here, what I noticed was everybody I was doing business with were older. I didn't see younger people getting involved, right? And after these people retired or went on, who was going to replace them? Who was going to be the local presence in business? And I always wondered, like, when the young people, the younger generation, was going to step up and do stuff. And this ends up being the kind of stuff, the innovative stuff, the next generation. It's not manufacturing facilities anymore. No. It's stuff like this where they can be creative and create products. It's amazing.
And also be social.
Yep.
So it's like they're filling that void that depleted with the tech increase, and that's social media and everything. And they brought back something that was filling a new creative space and bringing back that social aspect as well for people, which is awesome.
Yeah, because you didn't have local, all these breweries when we were young, you know?
No, we didn't. So it's like the new wine.
It is too. Really lucky to have so many in our area. You're totally right.
We are very lucky because it does. It makes us a little bit more of a destination place for other people that are our craft beer advocates as well to come and stop by. There's plenty of times I've been at a brewery and somebody from out of state was visiting and they wanted to hit up some of the breweries that we had, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And your reach is pretty good, by the way. I kind of was looking through your numbers the other day and where people are listening from.
Oh, wow.
And you got an international. You got a couple of people in the Netherlands that were checking out you talking about homes.
Are you sure they're not like those bots out
maybe,
there?
Maybe they were, but I'm going to give you cover credit for you anyway.
Thank you very much. But it's probably from where it's coming from Youngstown Studio, which that's really is strong. It's a strong. How many shows do you have going on?
So we've got 7 regular shows, and then we've got 3 under development, and then we've got 2 that are hypothetical sometime in the fall.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're going to, we got Tuesdays.
Are you going to grow out of this space?
Oh, heck yeah. No doubt. We've already started talking with a city, and when we do grow out, we've got a place for it that's way bigger, and you know, we want to get more in the entertainment fields too. So yeah, we're definitely going to grow out of this place. I give it 5 years.
5 years? Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good. Well, thank you so much for
absolutely
for letting us all know your background and history. And thank you for making a home for our homes.
Absolutely. Very happy.
Me too. Cheers.
Cheers.
Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com.